Lord this morning.
Amen.
Would you stand with me and turn in your Bibles to 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 2. The Lord brought me back to this portion of Scripture. I'd preached on something similar several years ago, but He brought me back to this portion of Scriptures, and I believe He's desiring this for His church this morning. Hallelujah. I'm going to preach to you about a journey for a double portion. How many of you want a double portion this morning?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh, I'm not just satisfied where I'm at. I want more of Jesus. How about you?
Amen.
Amen. I believe that's what the Lord desires for us to do. Stand with me if you can to the reading of the Word of God. And when you get to 2 Kings chapter 2, shout amen.
Amen.
And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Hallelujah. How many of you have that prayer this morning, Lord? Could you just give me a double portion of your precious Spirit today? Would you pray with me, Heavenly Father? We're so grateful and thankful. Oh, for the precious Holy Ghost, the Comforter. Oh, the promise of the Father. Oh, that was in our midst this morning. Oh, we felt that comfort, Lord. We felt that joy. We felt that fire. Lord, we felt that peace, oh God, that passes all understanding. And we thank you for it this morning. God, I pray, Lord, that the words of eternal truth, Lord, would find its place in the fallow grounds of our heart that has been plowed by the Spirit this morning. I pray that it would bring forth fruit upward and root downward for the glory of God and for the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we give you the praise and the glory. And we ask it in the name of Jesus. And everyone shouted amen.
Amen.
Come on, shout amen again.
Amen.
Come on, give Him praise and glory before you sit down. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. We worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Again, I want to remind you, I'm preaching to you about a journey for a double portion. And I've preached to you a message before about Elijah. And we have learned that Elijah was a picture of the last day's church. I believe the church has experienced many victories throughout the ages, but I believe that the winds of false doctrine have blown through the church. I believe that the earthquakes of great shaking has begun in the church and in the world. so that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. Praise God. And I believe that the fires of tribulation judgment from God are already beginning to fall. And I believe that judgment will begin at the house of God, and that He's going to purge His floor first. How many know that's what He said in the Bible?
Amen.
And I believe that through all of it, it is important that we know the voice of the Good Shepherd. I believe that we ought to hear the voice of our Good Shepherd continually. Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When I speak to them, they hear. Oh, praise God. Are you glad that there is a Savior who desires to speak with His own? Hallelujah. And He said that His sheep would know His voice. Praise God. You'll know His voice because you hear it often. You'll know His voice because He is calling out to His sheep very often. Praise God. I believe that we need to be covered with that mantle of the blood of Jesus. And the double portion is that we're not only covered with the blood, praise God, Brother Roy, but that we are filled with the blood of Jesus and with the Spirit of the living God. Hallelujah. Can somebody shout praise the Lord? The Bible tells us in Leviticus chapter 17, it says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood." Praise God. And that word life in the Hebrew also means spirit. So you literally could say, "For the spirit," hallelujah, "is found in the blood." Somebody say hallelujah. Oh, praise God. How is it that those, I know there's many Pentecostals that wonder, how is it that those who've never been baptized in the Holy Ghost have the strength and the power to live a godly and holy and righteous life? I'll tell you why. Because there's a portion of the Holy Ghost that has covered the blood of Jesus. For in the blood there is life and there is spirit. Ooh, can somebody shout hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Church, we got to be filled with that life-giving power and that spirit of the precious blood of the Lamb. Amen. Oh, but while I'm on the subject, let's go back to that phrase that I just said. That doesn't mean you don't need to. You shouldn't seek after. Hallelujah. Jesus said, "He that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Holy Ghost, which they that believe on him should receive." Hallelujah. Ooh, glory to God. If you hadn't been baptized in the Holy Ghost, I want to encourage you. Press on to Jordan and get some Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Covering your life. Praise God. It's a wonderful compliment to the blood. Amen. It is a wonderful compliment to the Word. Somebody say praise the Lord. The Bible tells us that there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And there are three that bear witness in the earth. The water, the Spirit, and the blood. Hallelujah. Woo! Praise God. Listen, the Word is what drew you to Jesus. Praise God. And the blood is what covered you and saved your soul. Oh, but I believe that as the blood is in your life, it begins to cry out for more of the life-giving power of the Spirit of God in the life of the believer. Somebody say praise the Lord. I believe a double portion of the mantle of the blood is to not only be covered with the blood, but to be filled with the blood. And there's a life in the blood, and that life is the Spirit of God. And a couple of questions I want to have you running through your own mind this morning. And I preached to you about that last week, about the four corners of the forgiving blood of Jesus. Praise God. Somebody might ask the question, and I've had this asked to me before, "Pastor, why is it I cannot seem to access the power of the blood in my life? Why does the miraculous power of the blood sometimes seem so distant?" Well, there's that four corners of the forgiving blood, church. And unless that blood of Jesus is covering all the four corners, hallelujah, every part and parcel of our life, praise God, you're going to not walk in victory like you ought to be walking. Praise God for the blood. All right, so does the miraculous power of the blood, does it have to be distant? No. Does the miraculous power of the blood, is it accessible to the believer? Yes, it should be. But I want to remind you in what I read to you in 2 Kings chapter 2. Elisha wanted a double portion. But until Elisha could take a spiritual journey, hallelujah, Elisha would never receive that double portion. Are you hearing me?
You see, he had so many places that he traveled to. And I'm going to look at those places that Elisha desired to go with Elijah so that he might obtain a double portion. Oh, hallelujah. Did you know, church, that if he stopped at the first place and said, "Fine, Elijah, I won't go on with you. You go ahead. I've come this far. That's far enough." Did you know that Elisha would have never received that double portion?
Amen.
Yes. Hallelujah. And so if we're going to have a double portion, church, we can't quit. Amen. We got to press onward and upward in Jesus. Hallelujah. Living for God is not a place where you plateau. Praise God. It's a place where you're continually pushing, striving. Paul said it best. He said, "I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Church, we got to press on. We got to press on. We got to press on and upward in Christ Jesus. Don't be satisfied where you are. Oh, desire a double portion of the blood of Jesus. Desire a double portion of the Word of God. Desire a double portion of the Spirit. The infilling of the Holy Ghost. Somebody shout hallelujah. Ah, praise God. Elisha recognized if he said, "I'm only going this far." Hallelujah. God, I'm only going this far. Oh, hallelujah. Church, we're going to have to set down our pride. We got to put down the what we think. We got to set aside our thoughts. Isaiah 55 tells us that, "For God said, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts above your thoughts, and my ways above your ways." We got to lay aside our thoughts. We got to lay aside our ways. We got to lay aside our pride. And we've got to follow Jesus all the way. Not only covered with His blood, but filled with His blood. Hallelujah. And first, what's the spiritual journey I must take, Pastor? The picture was given to us in 2 Kings chapter 2. We see that Elijah must go first with Elisha. They left Gilgal. How many of you know what Gilgal means? Gilgal in the Hebrew and in the Old Testament, it was the place of false worship. Are you hearing me, church? Woo, what do you think Jesus said to His disciples? "Oh, you must worship God in spirit and in truth, for He seeketh such to worship Him." Church, I don't want to come together and play church. I want to come together in one accord, in one mind, seeking the throne and the face of God so we might see things happen in our lives and in the lives of those around us. Woo, can somebody shout hallelujah. They left Gilgal. Church, and you and I are going to have to leave Gilgal. We're going to have to leave that place of false worship. We're going to leave that place of playing games with God. We're going to leave that place of quitting playing church. And we got to get in the Spirit on the Lord's Day and every other day in between. Because if you don't leave Gilgal, you're not going up. If you don't leave Gilgal, hallelujah, are you hearing me, church?
Yes.
You're not going to get a double portion. Praise God. Realize it said that Elijah was going to be taken up. Ooh, I believe that Jesus is coming after a church who has made herself ready. Hallelujah. How many believe that this morning? That Jesus is coming for a church who has left Gilgal. Jesus is coming for a church who has left the place of false worship and gets into the Spirit and loves to be in the presence of God and will cry out to Him with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. Oh, praise God, because if you don't leave Gilgal, you're not going up. Elijah, if you don't leave Gilgal, you're not going up. Hallelujah. Church, if you don't leave Gilgal, you're not going up.
Come on.
Amen.
Right. Come on, brother.
Oh, praise God. But if you leave Gilgal, praise God, that means you're going to Bethel. Hallelujah. Did you know that Bethel means the house of God? Ooh, praise God. If you finally get out of Gilgal, that means
means you're going to get together. You're going to get to Bethel. You're going to get to the house of God. You're going to get into the presence of God. Hallelujah. Oh, and it's not a building, church. How many of you know that Bethel's not a building? The Bible says, know ye not that ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. That your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And that you're not your own, that you're bought with a price. Hallelujah. How many of you realize this morning you got to be sold out to Jesus in your life individually? And it's only then when we're individually sold out together, Brother Roy, and then we come together in the house of God. Oh, that there is a death that God comes into and begins to show Himself mighty in the lives of His people. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
They went to the house of God, not the building, but a place of humility and prayer. The place where God placed His name. Woo, hallelujah. How many of you have Jesus placed on your heart?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Woo, the place where God placed His name. And where He places His name, He places His power. Woo, there's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. No other name I know. Ooh, how many of you got Jesus in you this morning?
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
How many of you got Jesus inside of you this morning?
Yes.
Woo! Glory! Then there's power in you.
Come on, bro.
Praise God. Power of the name. Hallelujah. Where He's placed His name, He's placed power. Praise God. Are you glad you went to Bethel? How sinner, are you glad you went to Bethel? You left behind all the silliness of pretending. And you went and sought after God. And you went to a place of sincerity and humility. And you bowed the knee. And you confessed with your mouth. And you believed that Jesus is the Lord to the glory of God the Father. And you believed into the salvation of your soul. How many of you glad you got to Bethel? But church, Bethel's not where you stop.
No.
Amen. If you continue to read the story, you're going to find the third place they went to was a place called Jericho. Oh, hallelujah. Did you know if he'd have went to Jericho before he went to Bethel, that the walls would not have come down? You got to get to the house of God in the presence of God and in the humility place. Hallelujah. Kneeling at the cross where Christ can meet you there. And then He can help you go to your Jericho and knock down the walls that are in your mind, that are in your life. Oh, hallelujah, that are in your very soul. Somebody, can you shout hallelujah? Ooh, they went to Jericho, the place where the walls have got to come down. Hallelujah. And in the power of Jesus, we can knock down those walls. Church, there's walls of doubt. Doubt begins in the life of the believer when he has small questions about the rulership of God's authority and lordship in your life. Small questions, oh, that bring about little doubts in your life. And if you're not careful, those will lead to even greater, thicker, taller walls of unbelief. Hallelujah, church, we better put our trust and faith in God, because if we don't, it'll bring it about to the next wall, the wall of fear. And that's the biggest wall, church. And then we'll find ourselves in the midst of the strongholds of our own weaknesses and inabilities. And we will have forgotten that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through the casting down of strongholds. Woo! Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Church, the weapons of your warfare are not carnal, but are mighty. What are those weapons? It is the blood of Jesus in your life. It is the Holy Spirit of God in your life. Hallelujah. That's what helps you overcome the strongholds of your own mind. I've often told you, and I'll say it again, there's too many spirit chasers out there. They're looking for the strongholds of Mahia, strongholds of Limestone County, strongholds of Texas. Yeah, I know those things are out there. But God did not tell you to go chase after them strongholds. I'll tell you the ones He told you you ought to chase down. He said, start with your own mind. Hallelujah. Start with your own mind. That's where the strongholds are. He said, what? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty through the casting down of strongholds. Casting down every thought that would exalt itself against God, and bringing into captivity every imagination, and bringing it into obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. Woo, hallelujah! How many are willing to cast down those walls of doubt and fear and unbelief that are in your own mind?
Amen.
Church, we've got to make sure that we're knocking down those strongholds of our own weakness, of our own abilities, of our own inabilities. Praise God, and we do it with the precious blood of Jesus that flows upon us. And praise God, I pray it is flowing within you as well. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right, church, the fourth place they went to. Oh, hallelujah, I love this part. The fourth place they went to was the Jordan River. The Jordan means the place of descending. Hallelujah. How many of you remember the time I preached to you about the disciples? They had gone down to the Jordan River. Oh, praise God. And Jesus, He said, now wait a minute. I don't want you to stay right here at the Jordan River. He said, I'm glad you came to the Jordan River. Because it's at the Jordan River where you learn to descend, and you learn to submit, and you learn to bring yourself into the humility of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then He said, but then, go ye to Jerusalem and tarry for the promise of the Father. Oh, how many remember that story? Oh, praise God. I'm glad those disciples went to the Jordan. Oh, and I'm glad God told them to go from the Jordan on back over into Jerusalem and to tarry for the promise of the Father, the infilling of the Holy Ghost and fire. And church, we need that fire just as much now as they did on the day of Pentecost.
Yeah.
Why? Because there's still walls of doubt. There's still walls of unbelief. There's still walls of fear. There's still strongholds of our own mind and of our own thoughts and of our own inabilities that we have to overcome. Somebody say praise the Lord. And we need to go to the Jordan River. We need to find ourselves descending. We need to find ourselves going down under the waters of Jesus' life, under the waters of Jesus' death, under the waters of the Word of God. Woo, somebody say hallelujah. And under the waters of baptism, Sister Minnie. Praise God. Oh, I can't wait till next Sunday. She's going to be buried with Christ and raised with Him in newness of life. Hallelujah. She's going to the Jordan River. Oh, glory. Praise God. To wash away, hallelujah, old Minnie, so that new Minnie can rise up, praise God, from the grave, the watery grave. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Aren't you glad that's a picture of baptism in our life, church? It's a picture of us going to the Jordan River, submitting ourselves to God and surrendering and being buried with Him in baptism so that we might be resurrected or risen with Him in newness of life. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So when you get to the Jordan, hallelujah, the waters parted and it went through on the other side, and this was where Elisha was able to take on that double portion that he so desired from the Lord. In church, when we desire, hallelujah, when we desire to get that double portion from God, hallelujah, we'll get that double portion, I believe, of the blood. The blood that not only covers us, hallelujah, and covers us, and then we are hid in Christ, but I believe that that blood begins to flow into the inside of us. Hallelujah. It's a picture of us drinking that blood, which we do at communion. Hallelujah. Jesus said, if you cannot eat of my flesh or drink of my blood, then you have no part with me. Woo, praise God. How many of you ever heard your mama tell you, eat your broccoli, for you are what you eat? Yeah. Hallelujah. Oh, I want to partake of the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Because the more I partake of the blood of Jesus, the more of Jesus in me will be revealed. You know, and sometimes we fight the old flesh and we tell ourselves and we excuse ourselves and we'll even tell others, oh, I'm still too crazy. I'm still too stubborn. I'm still too whatever. I'm still this and I'm still that. And it's almost as if it's an excuse. Oh, listen, you don't have to be still too stubborn. You don't have to still be too hard-headed. You don't have to still be too proudful. You don't have to still be too full of yourself. You can partake again of the blood of Jesus and He'll cover you from the outside. And if you get to the Jordan River, He'll give you the double portion and He'll cover you on the inside too.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, praise God. And I told somebody this morning, I said, listen, you get so full of the blood of Jesus. You know why? Because there's life in that blood. You get so full of the blood of Jesus, the Spirit always falls on the blood.
Amen.
If you're desiring a baptism of the Holy Ghost, get more of the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Just get right smack dab in the middle of that stream. I just say go in there and just put your finger, your feet in there and say, well, look, Brother Roy, it's ankle deep.
Right.
Eh? We do like the old prophet in the book of Ezekiel. We go measuring. We get our spiritual measuring stick. And man, we're so spiritual. We go out there and we go, oh, look, that blood is ankle deep. You know how we know it's ankle deep? Because we're treading water in it. Woo! We say, look, it's knee deep. You know how we know it's knee deep? Because we're treading water knee deep. Praise God. But you know what, church? You want the double portion?
Amen.
You can't stop there.
Right.
You've got to go on to the Jordan and cross through. That means if you cross through the Jordan, you've descended and went down under. And when you went down under, praise God, I always tease and tell them when I baptize them, Brother Roy, I'm going to hold them down until they bubble. Praise God. I always tell them that. I'm going to hold them down until they bubble.
Hallelujah!
Maybe we weren't supposed to for 2 weeks. She's going to get baptized next week. She's committed. I've seen it. That look is in her eyes. She's like, yeah, well, don't get in my way next time. There's not going to be a next time. Amen?
Amen?
Praise God. So, hallelujah. Oh, listen. I believe we ought to recognize that there's a blood, there's a river that's flowing of the precious blood of Jesus. And we ought to not just walk in there and get ankle deep. We ought to not just walk in there and get knee deep. We ought to not just walk in there and get thigh deep. But we ought to walk in there until there's waters enough to swim in. And then take the dive down to the bottom. And be covered and hid in Christ. Woo! Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I want to be hid in Christ Jesus this morning. And I believe that the life of the blood of Jesus is the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 5:18 says, don't be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. Ooh, glory to God. Did you know, church, you can be blood-covered, blood-filled, and Spirit-filled too. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. You know, too many churches sometimes are just focusing on being Spirit-filled. You know what I say? If you're not blood-filled, you won't get Spirit-filled.
Come on. Yes.
Because the Spirit will only fall where the blood has been.
Come on.
Ooh, somebody say hallelujah. Church, we get to travel by gift in our spiritual journey. We get to travel by gift. I told you this last week. That first corner of your life, it gets covered by the blood of Jesus by gift. But if you're going to have the blood of Jesus going to every corner of your life, it will be because you asked for it by choice. Are you hearing me? And it is no different in your journey for a double portion. Hallelujah! That first place you got, you left the place of false worship, whether or not it was a dead, dry church of the first refrigerator, or if you were just out there and said, did you know there's not a whole lot of difference between the two? Or if you were out there in sin, just drunk and crazy and living your life for the devil, are you hearing me, church? You can be religious as you want to be and still end up in a devil's hell. You go to church every Sunday and go through your little rituals and get your little wafer on your tongue and drink your little wine. But if you don't let Jesus on the inside, you're lost and going to a devil's hell. It's not a personal ritual, it's a personal relationship.
That's right, brother. Come on.
And what baffles me is so many who've once known the truth, walked in the truth, loved the truth, had a hallelujah, had an infilling of the precious blood and the Spirit of God, have left the truth of a personal, precious relationship with Christ to go walk in the rituals of men. Ooh. Church says when we go past the Jordan and into the upper room, we get the double portion of the blood. We get the double portion of the Spirit. And then miracles seem to take place in our life. Are you hearing me? How many of you got loved ones you want to see saved?
Amen.
Praise God. Did you know what? I'm going to tell you something, church. I've told you this before. Hallelujah. Do you think I sit here or stand here and I preach to you? I'm preaching to me too. Every time my finger goes out like that, I got three more coming back at me. Are you hearing me, church? And you don't think on Monday morning I don't have to walk what I've been preaching to you on Sunday morning? You bet you I do. Sometimes the devil comes at me 10 times fold more than you would ever imagine about the things I preach to you, and then throws it right back up in my face and says, now see here if you can live it. Are you hearing me, church? Is that going to stop me from preaching the truth? No. Does it mean sometimes I fight a bigger battle than even you realize? Yes. Hallelujah. But praise God, I don't fight it with weapons that are carnal. I fight it with the weapons that are spiritual. I fight it with the precious blood of Jesus. And I just let Him cover that situation all over again. Praise God. You know, sometimes we put a lot of emphasis on miracles. Amen. How many of you want to see miracles?
Amen.
I believe Jesus said, greater signs shall these than these shall you do. What? What signs? Signs of what? What did He do? He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He touched blinded eyes and they were open. He touched deaf ears and they could hear. He touched mute tongues and they could begin to speak. Hallelujah! I know in the spiritual realm there's much more important things that happen than in the natural realm. Praise God! And if it will not preach somebody's spiritual eyes, get open and the scales fall off. I'm so happy in Jesus.
Yes.
The natural and blind, they may never be healed. But if their spiritual eyes get open, Brother Roy, that's a greater thing even than Jesus did. Y'all hearing me, church?
Amen.
He touched the bodies to show the power of the resurrected Son of God. But He called us to open blinded eyes in the spiritual realm. He called us, hallelujah, to open deaf ears that could not hear before in the spiritual realm. He called us, hallelujah, to begin to touch those mute tongues so that they could again begin to speak and give glory to God.
Amen.
With tongues of men and tongues of angels. Hallelujah. Praise God. But recognize this, church. After Elisha had gone through and received from Elijah that double portion, hallelujah, where you travel by gift, when you leave Gilgal, whether it be a place of false worship and false religion, or you're just out in the world, do you know you're going to serve somebody? Somebody, well, I don't believe in God. Well, yeah, you do. You're serving the devil and you don't even know it. Are you hearing me? Those who proclaim they don't believe in God, yeah, I know, they're serving the devil. I'll say, well, let me introduce you to your real God then, because you're serving Him. What? I don't believe in God. I say, yeah, you do. You don't believe in the one that made you. You believe in the one that lied about it. You're believing in the liar, not the one who's telling the truth. There's only two masters. You're going to love one or hate the other one. It's no mystery, church. If you're not living for Jesus Christ, then you're serving the devil. You know what the Bible says?
Yeah.
If you're not following Jesus, then you're following yourself and you're following the devil.
Come on.
Amen. Oh, but I got saved when I was 6. Well, what happened between 6 and now? Are you still walking daily by the Savior's side? Right. Are you still walking in the crucified? Are you still crucifying your flesh so that you might be more like Christ? Are you still onward and upward, pressing toward the prize of the mark of the high calling in God? Do you still desire a noble portion of Jesus this morning? Because if you really tasted of the blood, you'll never be satisfied with anything else, and that's all you're going to want. And you're going to want more and more and more and more.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. That's a holy addiction. That's the only one you can have. Amen. Ooh, somebody say hallelujah. I'm addicted on Jesus. I'm addicted on the blood of the Lamb. I'm addicted on the Spirit of God. I've got to have more. Woo!
Come on.
And praise God, church, when you get a double portion, you know what you're going to do? You're going to start all the way back again to make sure there's no places of false worship in your life so that you might go all the way through the journey by choice now and get some more double portion. Woo! Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You see, when you traveled by gift in your spiritual journey is when you left Gilgal and went to Bethel. When you left the place of false worship and you stood in the presence of God, the Son of God at the foot of the cross, and you said, save my soul. I know I'm in the house of God.
Come on.
Amen.
How can you say that? You know, even the soldier, who if you read in the book of the Gospels, you read in the books, and it tells you what? It tells you those soldiers were blindfolding Jesus, and they were smiting him with their fists. They were pulling out his beard, and they were mocking him. And they said, hey, you're blindfolded. Where hit you? Can you tell us who hit you? Aren't you the Son of God? They were in a place called Gilgal, false worship, where they even doubted who it was they were mocking. They didn't even realize who it was that they were scorning. They were spitting on him and ripping out his beard with their hair. But when they got to the cross of Calvary and they crucified him and they heard him cry out, oh my God, it is finished! And the earth quaked, that same soldier bowed his knee and said, Surely, this was the Son of God. He had left Gilgal and found himself at Bethel.
Amen.
Church, every time you kneel at the cross, you'll find yourself in Bethel.
Come on.
Hallelujah. You will say, surely, this is the Son of the living God. Woo! Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, praise God. Aren't you glad? How many want to be Elisha this morning?
Amen.
Want to get that double portion?
Woo!
I'm not happy where I am.
No,
I'm not happy. I'm not happy. Are y'all happy where you are?
No.
Well, on one portion, but no, you better not be happy where you are. You better be seeking more. Hallelujah of Jesus. We see Elisha after he got the double portion going back down the same road of life, but he is a changed man. Hallelujah. After he get across Jordan, he got his double portion. The Bible says that he went to Jordan, he went to Jericho, he went to Bethel, and from there he went to, instead of Gilgal, which is a place of false worship, he went to Mount Carmel, which is a place of an orchard of fruits and growth. Hallelujah. The fruit of the Spirit began to be produced in his life. He began to see some fruit and growth. Hallelujah. You want to know why maybe you're not growing? You're still stuck in Gilgal. Get out of that place of false worship and begin to worship God in spirit and in truth. And go all the way to the Jordan where you descend and humble yourself and get covered again in the blood of Jesus. When you come back down that road again, hallelujah. When you come back to the Jordan, you'll take that mantle of the blood, and what once was a river of death to you will now become a river of life. As you get to that place called Jericho, you're not tearing down walls now, brother. You're building walls up for the kingdom of God. You've already tore down those old walls of the enemy that was in your mind, the strongholds of your mind, the strongholds of your life, strongholds of your imagination, and now you're building up, hallelujah, brick by brick, beautiful walls, strong towers of the name of God that you can run into and be saved from out of trouble. Hallelujah. Isn't it different? Same path. What happened? He got a double portion. Hallelujah. Oh, somebody say hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So he went down the same road. Praise God. And he recognized that he had to go back down the same road, but he doesn't have to end up at Gilgal anymore. He can have Mount Carmel, the orchard of fruits and growth. And so I want to just draw your attention to this. Now watch this. The first four miracles that occurred in Elisha's life as he now walks with a double portion of the mantle, he got back to the Jordan River, right? And it was a place that must be divided. The waters of death now became the waters of life. We must be crucified with Christ so that we might live with Christ. And when we are risen in that newness of life, the waters of death must give way to the power of the double portion of the life-giving blood of Jesus. We're here in the church. And I've taught you this over and over again, but I will tell you again. When you go down to the cross at the altar and you die to more of yourself, there is a precious promise in the Word of God. After death comes life. After crucifixion comes resurrection. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Church, we ought to be desiring to find that place of being crucified with Christ. Why? So that we might be risen with Him in resurrected power. If we would realize the power that is available to us in the crucified Christ, we would find more of our time in the crucified Christ. Hallelujah. The waters parted for Him. Praise God, and they'll part for you. The next miracle tells us about the bitter waters. This is the poison waters. And oh, praise God. Ooh, Brother Johnny, Elisha realized that there's a principle of God here. He said, listen, prophet, what are we going to do? There's poison all around. How many of you realize there's poison all around you? Mm-hmm. That the waters that are being poured out by the world for you to drink, they're poison water. Ooh, there's king's wine and there's king's meat. You better stay away from that. Hallelujah. You better go to the King of Kings wine and the King of Kings meat. Hallelujah. That's the better food and drink for you. Yeah. And there's poison all around us. And Elisha recognized that there's a godly principle at play here. And he said, okay, I want you to bring me a vessel. How many of you are vessels here this morning? Yeah. Ooh, you see what, church? We don't realize this. There are vessels. Oh, we call them bodies, but the Bible calls them vessels. But Elisha didn't say, just bring me any old vessel. Hallelujah. How many of you realize that in order to counteract the poison that is being offered up by the devil in this world, you've got to have a new vessel? And Elisha said, bring me a vessel. Bring me a new vessel. Bring me a vessel. Hallelujah. That's been changed by the blood of Jesus. And in that vessel, we're going to put some salt.
How many of you remember the verse? Jesus said, ye are the salt of the earth. And if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is of no use but to be cast out and trodden under the feet of men. Church, Jesus is your salt. The blood of Jesus is the savor that the poison of this world needs to have poured on it, but it can only be poured out from a vessel that has been made new by the blood of Jesus.
I hope you're hearing me this morning. I hope you're seeing these principles. Hallelujah. We must be a new vessel transformed if we want to be used to bring about healing to a dying, poisoned world. Hallelujah. We must be a new vessel and then we must be full of salt. We have to be a new vessel and then we have to be full of salt. Hallelujah. And then you get to the very next miracle that's listed. It's the little widow. Remember? She's the wife of one of the prophets. And she came to Elisha and said, my Lord, oh, my husband has died. And all I have left are my two sons. And the creditors have come now. And they want to make my two sons as bond servants to pay my debts. What shall I do? And he said, what do you have? Woo! Hallelujah.
Oh, faith, just a little bit of faith. Faith, just a little bit of faith. Oh, it don't take a whole lot. Just use what you got. Faith. Just a little bit of faith. He said, what do you have?
Just got a little bit of oil.
Oh, that's enough. Ooh, how many of you got Jesus in your life?
Amen.
I said, how many of you got Jesus in your life? Amen. The oil of the Spirit.
Amen.
Oh, I don't have enough. That's okay. How much you got? You got a little bit? Use what you got. He said, go borrow some vessels. Not a few. Get a bunch of them. And then go close yourself up. Go close yourself up in your inner chambers with your sons and begin to, what? Begin to pour out that oil. Shut in with God in a secret place.
Spirit, beholding His face, finding more power to run in this race. How I long to be shut in with God. Why? Because there, He'll fill your well to overflowing, and you'll have enough for you, for your family, and for every vessel that comes into your life. You'll be able to pour the oil of the Spirit. You, as a vessel, you'll be able to pour into Wayland, into your grandchildren, into your great-grandchildren, into your cousins, friends, uncles, aunts, neighbors. The stranger who stops and says, "What is it about you?" Well, I've been shut in with Jesus, and He filled my cup, and man, I just can't help it. It's overflowing.
Amen.
And you can start pouring into their life out of your vessel. Why? Because you were in obedience. Why? Because you obeyed and did what most people would have said. What? Why do I need a bunch of vessels when all I have is a little bit of oil myself? Church, if we're not careful, we get the I, me, my, and mine mentality.
Right.
I got enough for me. I got enough for my family. The rest of you guys go scratch it up for yourself.
Us four and no more.
Us four and no more. And Jesus, you know how He poured His... You know, this is the hardest thing, I believe, for some Christians to understand. You know why Jesus saved you? Not so you get what you want. He saved you for His glory.
Right.
You know why He changed your vessel? So He could fill it up with His blood and oil of the Spirit so that you could pour out into others. And then when He pours us out, we go, "Well, He just poured me out. What did you think He was going to do with you?" He fills you so that He can pour you out.
Right.
So He can fill you again. So He can pour you out. So He can fill you again. So He can pour you out. So He can fill you again. Praise God, until we don't need that anymore. And He calls us up to be with Him in glory.
Right.
Woo! Hallelujah. How long will He need me to be poured out? Until the end of the age and you're called home. Can somebody still say hallelujah?
Hallelujah?
The miraculous will begin to happen in the life of a believer when they avail themselves of the mantle of the blood which is already in their lives. Sometimes as believers, if we're not careful, church, we wait for the next big service. We wait for the next evangelist. We wait for the next revival. And then, woo, I'm going to get sold out. Won't you get sold out right now?
Yeah. Come on.
What are you waiting for? You may not have a tomorrow to get sold out to. If you're sold out today and your life is over tomorrow, won't you be glad you sold out today?
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. What do you have? I don't have much. Guess what? God doesn't need much. He can take the little you do have, and with the desire and the obedience, He can make it into vessel after vessel after vessel after vessel. Not a few that gets filled. Because you're obedient and you're willing to use what God has placed already in your life. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
I promise you there's enough. There's enough blood. There's enough Spirit. There's enough power to fill every portion or empty portion of your life, whatever it may be. And hallelujah, even portions of other people's lives that are around you that you desire to see saved. The last miracle, or the next miracle, the last one I'm telling you about, the next miracle was a lady who had provided for the prophet. She was a Shunammite lady. And the Bible says that someday that she built a little, her and her husband built a little room on the side of their house specifically for the prophet Elisha. Every time he came by, they knew they would welcome him, and he knew he had a place to stay. And the Bible says that there was a day when she stood in the doorway of this little room. And she stood there until Elisha said, "What is it that I can do for you? You have done so much for me. What is it that I can do for you?" Isn't it wonderful when Jesus comes to you and He says,
I sure appreciate what you have done. Is there something I can do for you?
Oh, isn't that wonderful?
Oh, she said, Lord, I've never had a child. And he said, you know what? Next year, this same time, you'll be cradling a baby in your arms. And she said, now wait, don't just tell me that. Don't just tell me that, Lord. How many of you got promises from God in your way to see them happen?
Amen.
Let me tell you something. His word is forever settled in heaven.
Amen.
He cannot lie. If he told you he's going to do something in your life, you just hang on and wait. It's coming. It may not come in your timing, but it's coming. Guess what? The next year, at that same time, she was cradling a baby boy in her arms. A happy little bumbling baby boy. And the Bible says that as the lad grew, hallelujah, Brother Michael, I think it's Sammy. As the lad grew, he wanted to go out and be with Daddy. Wherever Daddy was, he wanted to be with Daddy. Daddy was in the field working. And the Bible says, oh, that little lad ran up to be with Daddy. And one day he was out in the field. I guess it got too hot. Sounded like a little boy had a heat stroke. He began to hold his head and cried out, oh, my head, my head. And the daddy said to one of the servants, take the lad, bring him home to his mother. So they brought him home to his mother. I'm telling you the story. And as she sat there cradling him in her lap, you know how mamas do. There's only one touch mamas can give. Cradling him in her lap and stroking his little head, saying, oh, I know, honey, it'll be all right. He died in her arms, sitting in her lap. Bible says that she picked him up. She opened the door to that prophet's room. She laid him on the bed. She went back out and closed the door. She got her horse saddled up, jumped on it, and went as fast as she could to where Elisha was. On the way out, her husband stopped her and said, wait, where are you going? She said, I'm going to see the man of God. He said, why? It's not time for a feast. It's not time for something we ought to be doing with the man of God. Why are you going? She said, all is well. Can you say all is well when it's not? Can you say all is well when it's not?
Yeah.
You can when you've had a double portion.
Yeah.
All is well. He said, well, okay. She took off and went straight until she got to Elisha. And Elisha, she knew the man of God had a mantle of the double portion. She had already experienced that double portion in her life. And she said, I know he's the one that gave me the promise. He's the one that's able to bring you back.
That's right.
Listen to me, church. Sometimes the enemy comes against us and we feel like death warmed over. I want to remind you of the time and the place when you knelt at the cross and the blood of Jesus covered you and brought you life. And if he can bring life in your soul when you first kneel, he can bring life into your soul wherever you are, whatever place might, whatever might be going on in your life, he can bring life right back into where he thinks is dead. Elisha said to his servant Gehazi, he said, take my rod, go in there quickly, lay it across it, put it across his body. And he took his rod, got over there as fast as he could, laid it across him, waited a few minutes, went running back to Elisha, and he said, no, still no hearing, still nothing. Elisha says, that's why I'm going. Elisha himself went. The Bible says he went in by himself, closed the door. Here's that shut in with God again. He began to touch the throne of grace. You know what, church? I am so excited when we have some big, powerful movements of God in the church. Mm-hmm. Because when we come together, it's our faith all joined together, and man, together we reach and touch the throne of God, and isn't it wonderful? But I'm going to tell you, some of the special, most special moments you'll ever have is when you get shut in with God in your own little prayer closet. And you touch Him, you touch the throne of grace for your need. Elisha began to cry out to God. Oh Lord! Oh Lord! You know, he prayed. I know he prayed. The Bible says he prayed. Now I think he was saying, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. No, this was a serious time with it, sister. He was touching the throne.
Right.
Oh God! Oh God! We got a need here. And then he obeyed God. Laid himself out across the top of that child, put his mouth on his mouth, eyes on his eyes, and hands on his hands. He made the shape of the cross. He put the mark of Jesus on him. He put a picture of the blood of Jesus on top of that child. And then when he stood up, the Bible says the child sneezed 7 times and then woke up and came to himself. He opened the door and says, "Mama, go get your baby." Woo! Was there rejoicing in the household?
Yes.
"Mama, come get your baby." Woo! Don't you know? The Bible says she ran in there, scooped him up, and took him back home with her. What would have been a time of mourning and sorrow became a time of joy and gladness. Church, there's times in our life that we feel like we've reached the end of the road. It feels like we've reached that place of death almost in our life. And I want to remind you that Jesus is still there. He is still able. Hallelujah. If you desire that double portion this morning, Sister Carol, would you come to the piano? I just want to ask every one of you here this morning, just bow your heads. I know everybody here, praise God, you love Jesus. You've given your heart and your life to Him this morning. But I'm not talking about that, church. That first corner of salvation that you've been given, I'm so thankful and grateful that it is in your life. And hallelujah that you've been given that by gift. But by choice this morning. I wonder if there's anyone who is going to come up and say, "You know what, Lord? By gift you've given me so much. By choice, I want to give you another portion of my life. I want to walk further, onward and upward with you. I want to surrender every part and parcel of my life. I don't want to have any part left undone, Lord, because I desire that double portion in you." If there's anyone, I want you to come up right now. Now's your moment. Now's your moment. Ooh, glory to God. Anyone else? Come on. Is there anyone else? Come on. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, amen. All your ears, start lifting your hands. And surrender that to the Lord. Hallelujah. Brother Farron, if you're coming in, begin to pray over the time. Hallelujah. We're going to begin to pray in just a minute. Hallelujah. Now's your moment, your opportunity. Come on, begin to seek the face of the Lord. Begin to desire that whole portion in Him. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, this morning. I thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for the many things, oh God.